You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Don't forget, your team made 7 game-changing plays yesterday, which means Game Changer Multiplier is 8 times today only at Horseshoe Casino in Cleveland. Make sure to get to the Horseshoe today to redeem your Game Changer Multiplier. Again, that's a play of 10 or more rushing yards, 20 or more passing yards, and any turnover. That's how you get the Game Changer Multiplier there. And certainly the Browns did it 7 times against Buffalo. Not enough to get the win, unfortunately, as they are 7-5 after falling 26-10. To the Buffalo Bills in this one. I thought it was overall a very strong performance from the defense. I think when you really get into the numbers, they dominated in terms of total yards. They were better in terms of yards per play, just 4.6. Again, 2 of 15 on third downs, and they forced 2 turnovers. Typically, that should be enough to win the game, but it wasn't. That's why we have this quarterback controversy here potentially today. We're going to go to the phones, 216-578-0850. John is on his cell. What's up, John?
Hello.
Hey, John. How are you doing?
Fine. I wanted to make a comment first with Brian Hoyer. The first part of the season, he looked good, and I think everyone was pretty much satisfied with him. But these last 4 weeks, he looked substandard. And other than that drive with Atlanta when he came back with 44 seconds left, the game that we had lost that game, if Atlanta's coach would have took care of the time the way he should have, we wouldn't have won that game either. But and I just think that it's time for Johnny. He showed us he has a rifle arm. He has the legs. We may have another Russell Wilson for all we know. We don't know what we have, but we know we have something good, and the kid deserves a chance, is what I'm saying. I strongly in favor of that, and this is his time, and we he's a first round draft choice. He broke records in the SEC. Let's see what he can do here, and I think he's our man. We got to give him that chance, and we'll know in the next 4 games, but without prejudging him to see exactly what he can do, we have to give him that chance.
Appreciate the phone call. Here's an interesting one for you guys. After the first 5 games of the season, Brian Hoyer had thrown 7 touchdowns and had only 1 interception. He had more touchdowns than interceptions in all 5 of those games to open the season. Since that point, Brian Hoyer has thrown exactly 4 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. Since that game against Pittsburgh, he has thrown more touchdowns than interceptions only once, week 8 over Oakland, where he had 1 touchdown and no interceptions. Other than that, he's either had the same number of touchdowns and interceptions or more interceptions than touchdowns, which have happened against Jacksonville, which have happened against Houston, happened against Buffalo and Atlanta. And obviously you lose 3 of those 4 games. So Brian Hoyer, I mean, that's pretty staggering when you think about it. 7 touchdowns, 1 interception through his first 5 games. And in the last 7, he has just 4 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. And I think that's why it's a shift now, right? It's a shift. You're looking at, he's thrown 8 picks in the last 5 games. And that is where I think people are starting to become a little bit concerned. 6 of those in the last 3 with just 1 touchdown.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I just did my own little statistical analysis here as well. Looking at the last 3 football games, the Texans, Falcons, and now the Buffalo Bills, 20 of 50, 23 of 40, and 18 of 30. That's 61 completions in 120 pass attempts. So that's a shade over 50% passing. Not good enough. And I think still keeping Brian Hoyer as the 32nd ranked completion percentage in all of National Football League. And I'm talking Geno Smith, Michael Vick. I mean, the bad of the bad as you look and watch NFL football games every week. That's the leader of this football team. And again, as I said, multiple sources, some individuals very close to me, some family members, but they're football people saying that this team and this run game and this defense are winning these football games in spite of Brian Hoyer's performances.
Let me ask you guys this question. If through the first 5, he has 7 touches and 1 interception, why do you think that is? Because I have a thought in my head, and I'm going to just go ahead and give you my answer right now. He had the vote of confidence from the Cleveland Browns, right? So he knew that he was the starter. He didn't have any pressure on him. Johnny was going to sit the bench for a while. And then as he started to make the mistakes or what his physical limitations started to expose themselves in the middle point of the season and things started to kind of tank from there, the pressure built up on him. No longer. Now the questions are being asked by the coaching staff or to the coaching staff. through ownership, through the general manager, through
by the media.
By the media. So it's just kind of been a circus, and I think that he's been under a lot of pressure for a long time. At the beginning of the season, I think it was great for him because he deserved to be the starting quarterback, and he did one hell of a job, and he still has gotten us to our 7-5 point in the season. The flip side of it is I just think the limitations have now exposed themselves, and things are just starting to snowball out of control here. And that's why if Johnny does start this weekend and Brian were to come in at a later point as a backup role or something, I think sometimes a refresher course is a good thing.
And I think it also looks, if you look too at the games where the Browns really struggled to run the football, and that would be their last three losses, I would say Buffalo, Houston, and Jacksonville. In those games where it really truly fell on him, 16 of 41 for 215 yards with an interception against Jacksonville, 20 of 50 for 330 with 1-1 against Houston, and 18 of 30 for 192 and two interceptions against Buffalo. So it just shows when Brian Hoyer has had very good performances throughout this season when the running game has been there for him. And I think also another thing that's kind of disappeared somewhat is the vertical pass, because at the beginning of the year, there were a lot of vertical passes that were being connected upon. Those have not been hit on nearly as much. And you thought that would maybe return more with Josh Gordon, but even that hasn't really been the case. Some of the shots they took down the field either just missed, one was intercepted, as there seemed to be a little bit of a miscommunication with Gordon and Hoyer there.
I think, you know, the other thing, guys, to be, and again, I'm taking Brian's back here. He doesn't have two of his top weapons for a good portion of the season. One of them for 10 games, and the other guy's been hurt with concussion in Jordan. So when you look at what he's lacked in big play capability, it's not really fair to throw everything at Brian Hoyer. But on the other side of that, again, there's also a reason that Johnny Manziel's in the game. It's one simple reason. His physical limitations are really, really becoming very, very evident, not only to the fans, but to the team. The defenses are starting to pick up on it. And again, this is about playoff football. This isn't about just trying to get to next year. This is about going to the playoffs this year.
Now, there is a string of thought, and let me just throw this out there quickly. As one of our people texted us, Dale Berger said, Hoyer's 10-5 in games started, 9-4 in games finished. What's he had to work with? Let him finish the games and let him finish out this run. Quarterbacks, you guys have both played. Neither of you played quarterbacks. Do quarterbacks get too much credit for wins, too much blame in losses? Is when you look at a record, are you saying a team is there, or are you saying that that's the quarterback? How do you guys view that as having played, both of you with, by the way, pretty good quarterbacks at various points in your career?
Absolutely. I think, they do get, I think in some cases, too much blame in a loss because there are a number of issues that happened in this football game that led to this loss. But, you know, we'll continue to talk about the quarterback position because the change was made. If there was no change, we would never have anything to base our Johnny wants off of and just continue to talk about Brian Hoyer and next week making that change. But the one thing that I will say, because I did play with very good quarterbacks and as a football fan, I continue to watch each and every week. And now because of social media and the exposure that kids even get at a high school level is you always want to talk about passing the eye test. And there are standards that are set now at every level. When you see a kid in high school, can his game transfer into the college game of now? And then when you look at, again, Nathan, and you do this, and you do this for a living, how do guys transfer from the college game into the pros? You know, do they pass the eye test? Do they have the moves, the moxie, the arm, and all of those things? Well, I think at this point right now, through 13 weeks of the season, you know, we were being deceived a little bit by Brian Hoyer because he was passing the eye test only in the win column, you know, and we were giving excuses, you know, all game long or week after week about, well, we won the football game, you know, and Brian Hoyer, he will only get away with this for oh so long. And I think at this point, and Joe, you've said it multiple times today, all that average aspect of his football game or his lackluster of physical abilities have caught up to him against good defenses. And eventually we're going to see this week, we're going to see a good quarterback. A good quarterback or a great quarterback steps up to that occasion as we saw in Rodgers-Brady. Rodgers wanted to prove that he deserves to be the MVP, that he can put his team on his back and they can ride him to a victory over anybody in this league. And this week he did it over Tom Brady. And you got to look, can Brian Hoyer, in this case, you know, even smell where Andrew Luck is playing on the football field this season, and he does not pass that eye test in my case.
Matt, how many people in the NFL are watching film right now? Just in this organization alone, how many TVs are
evaluating
out right now? All this is all about evaluation. The product that he's putting out there on the field right now is not going to lend you to believe that he's a $100 million quarterback.
Correct.
So going back to your thought, Nathan, quarterbacks, they don't deserve all the blame they get. When you have receivers dropping balls and
a running back fumbling the ball,
know,
yeah.
There's all kinds of, you know, offensive linemen with a couple holding calls, all that stuff. But the moral of the story is when you get paid a $100 million contract and you're making $20 million a year and I'm making $1 million a year, there's a lot of blame that goes to the quarterback.
You better have that impact.
That's why those guys get paid that kind of money. So I think that the evaluation is going on inside this building right now, not only for the Browns, but then for other quarterbacks around the league. It happens every day of every NFL life. I mean, it's part of the game. So I think that Brian's just being evaluated. And the thing, regardless if he plays this week or he doesn't, there's going to be somebody out there with the camera that's going to be evaluating what he's doing on the sideline. Is he a team guy? Is he staying in the game? And all that stuff pays. That's going to play into his next contract, whether it's with the Cleveland Browns or somebody else. But there are people watching his demeanor on the football field. I think he is a strong-shouldered guy in the sense that he can handle this whole ordeal. I do believe that about Brian, but he is being evaluated in so many different ways. If he wants that big contract, he's being evaluated.
And one last quick point, when you talk about that $100 million deal, you're not paying someone $100 million to not make a mistake. You're paying him $100 million to make those throws
Phil
in
Rivers
crunch time.
Did against Baltimore.
Absolutely.
Yesterday. Your guy.
My guy. It was great to see. It's tough to win in Baltimore. I've lost there multiple times as a Charger. But you pay those guys that money to make that play and to be that difference maker, not to not make a mistake.
All right, we'll be back more. Obviously, lots of thoughts. We want to get your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Wilhelm with the mic drop, and he walks out of the studio. We'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.